The real news here, Mandy Bell's tweet that that MLB will have Guardians TV's right, their TV rights for 2025. The games will be able to be watched on television. Channel info will be known close to opening day. And MLB.com TV. And this agreement will also remove local blackouts. We got a lot to get into. We'll get back to the Browns later. Jason Stanford joins us in just about 40 minutes here. But I think local blackouts were the next thing for baseball to tackle. So in terms of fixing the sport, making sure everybody can watch you and that it's easier to watch your game, I think is just logic at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can overstate the significance of this, even though it's still a little suspect because it's baseball running it. But I mean, this is huge, legitimately.
Well, baseball running it means the Guardians won't get anywhere close to what they got last year with the $45 million from Bally's, right?
I would imagine that is close,
and
yeah.
So that will obviously directly impact the payroll, and that'll directly impact the spending. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's cool that people are going to be able to watch the games, but from a financial perspective,
well,
I don't know that we win in this scenario, but I don't know that we had many other options either.
I think you're right to be to be cynical about this. I also wonder whether because baseball could have done this, if I remember correctly, like a year ago,
That's right. They declined
to.
Yeah.
I would imagine if I were a smart person, and maybe baseball's getting smarter here, I would imagine they've built a year building the infrastructure you need. So I would imagine, like, if a year ago you weren't ready to do this, my hope is you've spent the last 12 months preparing for this so that you can try and find the resources to get that kind of money from local advertisers or finding a way to compensate some of that money there.
Well, from also what it sounded like, it was that this is the only team. The Guardians were the only team that were really under this unique of a setup.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe they just thought, all right, it's one team. We'll just take it over because of that.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the Guardians are like the test tube baby on this one.
Not in a good way, by the way, because Bally's basically just said, we don't want you.
Yeah.
Your contract's up and we don't want you.
Remember, I mean, didn't Bally's reject like almost every team but the Braves? Because this just happened last week.
Yeah, and then, and the idea behind that was Major League Baseball then they were in court and they presented it that way, and baseball was, they were surprised.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't see it coming, and then they had to respond in court in the moment to those reactions. So that
was
a little different.
Usually baseball takes about 20 years to respond to like necessary changes. So good for them for thinking on the spot there. The statement from the Guardians, we're excited to work with Major League Baseball to produce and distribute games locally. This is great for our fans as beginning in 2025, our games will now be more widely available. This will include streaming for the first time ever in our home television territory, essentially ending blackouts for our fans locally. So I do think the biggest question you've pointed to it is, how does this impact the organization financially?
Yeah.
And how close can you come to the $45 million mark there? But considering the organization has already been, I would say, supremely chintzy when it comes to spending outside of this organization.
You mean we can't go any chintzier? Is that what you're going to tell me?
When you have to trade Cal Quantrill so you can afford Scott Barlow.
When Austin Hedges seems like you're really stepping out on a limb there.
For $4 million.
Hey, that mound visit was worth the $4 million yesterday.
Honestly, every time that guy celebrates a playoff series win, it's worth the $4 million.
When we bring up Miles Straw with anger at the fact that he makes $5 million a year, that might be, we might be tiptoeing where we can go here.
Because I've never seen Miles Straw shirtless with a cigar in his mouth celebrating a win, saying things like, this town deserves a championship.
You haven't been to the right places.
No, that's what it is. Miles Straw doesn't get us. Austin Hedges does.
Well, I could have told you that.
If Miles had tried harder on the gets us meter, sure, you tried to fight the entirety of the Yankees fandom like one time. I'm going to need, if you're going to hit 200 with an OPS of like 560, I'm going to need you to try and fight Yankees fans like once a month.
I do always love the idea of him at like right before the season got underway and it was spring training. And then we found out that basically he wasn't going to start the season in the big leagues. And then he's sitting next to Chris Antonetti and people are like, how dare he? What's he doing? And I'm like, you guys are looking at this wrong. That man made him a millionaire beyond millionaire for someone that was not supposed to ever be worth $25 million. I'd hang out with my guy if they paid me $25 million too. You can cut me.
The contracts are guaranteed in baseball. So,
yeah, like we're good.
I actually think that's the funniest part of the season is that you get so much dead cap between Laureano, Barlow, and Miles Straw. There's at least one guy I'm forgetting as well. that I think if you also put guys that are injured like Shane Bieber together, they're making more than the rest of the team is.
Yeah, I will say what lacks out of this postseason series is the idea that we can just be like, well, they just spend so much more money than us when the Tigers have spent $18 million on their playoff payroll.
So
total, $18 million.
So it's funny that we're kind of having this conversation because I thought people were unnecessarily angry about the loss yesterday. I'll be honest with you, the Browns' loss on Sunday troubles me and pissed me off so much more than the Guardians' loss yesterday.
Yeah, why does it feel like so many fans are taking yesterday almost in stride?
I think it's one, trust in the team. Two, I think it's the understanding that like you played 9 or 8 2/3 perfect innings of baseball and you just that last third of an inning, bitch in the booty. Like if you're going to die, you're going to die with Emmanuel Clase on the mound. Like, of all the ways I'm comfortable losing, if that's got to be it, that so rarely happens, I guess that's how it's going to go.
It's the Chiefs in the Super Bowl letting Patrick Mahomes throw a goal on interception. You're like, if this is how this ends, this is how this ends?
Yeah. Like, if I die eating my own cooked food, then okay. Shame on me.
You poisoned yourself somehow?
If it's Emeril Lagasse, that's how she gots to go.
Well, your family would be much better off if Emeril, instead of going, bam, just threw some poison in your food, and then all of a sudden you got to sue.
Well, if he was going to accidentally or intentionally
poison
me.
He would do the bam thing, though. He 100% would do the
like,
bam thing.
If you're going to kill me with poison, at least you can throw a bam in there.
Yeah.
Right? Because I can be like, well, I get it.
Your boy took a pounding.
I don't love it, but I get it. But no, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, it sucks to lose in the playoffs, but there's no obvious place that I can look to in game two and just say, oh, well, screw you guys for losing that game.
You see how it doesn't sting any less, though? For me, it didn't. For me, that was gut-punching. That was...
Well, that's losing in the playoffs, though.
So. Yeah, but that was us putting our very best foot forward and being able to actually have the advantage against Skubal. We got him out of there. He was out of the game. You were in the eighth inning. You did everything you needed to do. You were in the clear against their number one, the guy that Brett Boone 20 minutes ago said, if you meet up in game five, you're not winning that game. Like, you got there. You got to the point you needed to. And then we let it get away.
But La Cabra is the reason that you're in this spot in the first place. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah,
Clase's,
it sounded fun.
Clase is the reason you're there in the first place. So if,
I'm not blaming Clase.
Well, no, it's not. But my point is, like, I can't be mad because it was a phenomenally performed game by everybody. Maybe not all the hitters, but a phenomenally performed game. And if you're going to lose, okay, I don't want to lose. It is a gut punch just because it's a playoff. But I'm comfortable losing in that way, Stephen Vogt trusted Clase, and he just got burnt. Like
and
you can't.
I agree that that's what they should have done. And I'll go until we don't want to talk about it anymore with the idea that Vogt made the right decision there. I 100% stand by him not only going out for the ninth. I stand by the fact that he got to face Kerry Carpenter, who's not Barry Bonds in 0-1. Like you get to face that guy if you're Clase. But I mean, that game should have stung. Game should have stung. Because now the Tigers not only have the advantage, because they have more home games than you have for the rest of the series. If you don't win the next two, Nick, you're taking on Skubal? You're going to be fine with that?
You kind of just described the playoffs, though. Like,
no,
like,
but you got to win the next two. Well, like, you got to win the next two.
No, I mean, okay. The easiest path forward is if you win the next two games. You do just have to win two of the next three games. It's a three-game series now. So I think you and I are actually going... We actually do disagree on this.
Yeah.
Like, I can't be mad about one loss in the playoffs because on one hand, the Tigers are really good. They're a very hot team. And, like, is there a concern that you missed your window? Of course. But that's what the next three games are about. Your margin of error actually is still there. Now you just have to go take one of the games, at least, in Detroit, which, okay, this is the next test you have to face. Whereas with the Browns, like, you guys didn't even show up. I mean, okay, you did. The defense showed up for, I think, the first two or three drives and then kicked the bucket. But, like, I'll take an honorable death. What the Browns did on Sunday was not honorable. It was all the little dumb things that have been killing you for 5 weeks now that you've had 4 weeks to get ready for. So, like, I can't even be like, well, they played hard. I mean, some did, but I don't know they played hard together. Well, but they played smart. They sure as hell did not. Like, so... Like, for me, I am in some way you have to be a fatalist in the playoffs. one team's going to win the World Series, right?
Yeah, so losing in general, or sports in general, is a losing proposition.
So it is excruciating to lose in the playoffs, but the circumstances matter. There's not one thing they could have reasonably done different to win that game.
Well, they could have had more than three hits in the game.
But my point is, but it's against Scooble, who's probably the best at pitch tunneling in baseball. Like, that's the way that game's supposed to go.
Game five. This is why this stinks so much.
Well, no. But so my point is, it's a very logical loss. It's not a game that I think you can pick apart
on
too many levels.
Once you got to the eighth inning, you're not supposed to lose that game. Once Scooble's out of the equation, and he's out of the equation, you're in the eighth inning, it's scoreless and Scooble's gone. Advantage Guardians in that moment. And we all know if you win game two and you go up two games to none, that was blouses on the series. That was game, set, match.
It can be a frustrating loss without it being a loss that devastates you. You shouldn't be devastated off that loss. That's a hell of a game. Somebody had to win. Detroit simply was better for one at bat. Okay, and really, it was one inning. They were better than Class A. But I don't think they should have, this means you can't put him out in the eighth. To hell with that.
Best pitcher. It's why
and
he's out there.
Maybe we needed Carl Willis whispering sweet nothings into the ear of Manuel Clase to get the 103-mile-an-hour cutter. I don't know. But, like, the Browns' loss is so much worse. Not even close.
You had Tanner Bibee. You had Matthew Boyd. And they did exactly what you needed them to do. Like, we were playing with exactly the right recipe that we needed to be playing to go up two games to none.
216-474-0092. I'm going to actually flip this on you. I'm going to ask you when we come back. But Ken Carman and Anthony Lima take the scene and take the show beyond 6 to 10 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursdays with their emerging podcast scene. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app at 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episodes. Let's go here. Which loss hurt worse? The Guardians' loss in Game 2 or the Browns' loss on Sunday? JP's going to answer that next on 92.3 The Fan. I answered the question of which loss was tougher for me. I don't think the Guardians deserve hammered for that loss, and that's a huge part. Like, when I go into loss and I go, well, you did damn near everything that you possibly could to win that game.
Except
just
the baseball.
Okay, but you're going up against the best pitcher in the playoffs right now that isn't Emmanuel Clase until the ninth inning. I think it's a totally understandable loss. So to me, when I can't like be empathetic to how you lost and why you lost, like the Washington game for the Browns, that's when all of a sudden you get the fire and earth or scorched earth Nick Wilson. How about you?
I think game two was worse. I think game two was worse because I think you were so close to winning that game, and you did. You got past Scooble. That's all you needed to do. Get past Scooble. Get me a tied game or with the lead past Scooble. That was exactly what I said before the game they needed to do, and they did it. They did it, Nick. And then they ended up in a situation where they blew it in the ninth. And the most improbable of ways. So now what this does, this is two things that this does moving forward now. And I don't know that many people are questioning Clase out there. I don't know that they are, but we've seen it before. Closers, they have a meltdown, and then they're just never the same for the rest of the postseason. So that does come into play. And then
think this is Jose Mesa in the 97 World Series?
I don't know what this is. I mean, last year, Clase did blow a lot of saves. He's been great this year. Maybe this all of a sudden is the beginning of something that we don't even want to see with Clase. I don't know, Nick, but that's the scary part about losing game two.
I think
you win that game and you're basically stamped into the ALCS.
You know, I'm Mr. Devil's Advocate. I love to see other people's point of view. I think worrying about Clase after that game is insane.
All right, what's your confidence level in the ninth inning of a tie game? Game three, game four, game five now with Clase.
One out
of
10?
Are you still 100%?
Wait, is it one out of 10? Are we doing the percentage thing? Which one?
We can do Portnoy style. One to 10, no whole numbers.
It's like an 11.5 out of 10.
Okay, good. Yeah. At least you didn't do a whole number out of it. Okay.
I would never do that. No. That's hackneyed right there. I'm not hackneyed in that way. No, I mean, my confidence.
Hasn't twisted it a little bit?
No, it's one bad game.
You watched the past couple weeks where he's left a lot of runners on base. He's gotten out of it, but he's left a lot of runners on base.
It's one game.
I mean, he didn't locate anything in that game.
No, I don't think that's fair. I think he located a fair amount of stuff. It's just I think he was over-reliant on the slider. Like, you can't go, okay, if your slider isn't working the first two pitches and there's diminishing returns, you can't. And I know Hedges was telling him to put the slider to the ground, basically. I'm sorry. The pitch failed you the first. Okay, you got lucky with the second slider. That's all you needed to know.
I mean, Kerry Carpenter in the postgame, he was laughing like he was Joaquin Phoenix in the Joker there. I mean, it was incredible. He was like, I can't believe he missed it that bad.
Yeah, I will tell you that there's nothing out of pocket that Kerry Carpenter or any of the Tigers did. Even though, like, the Scooble, like, flex to the Guardians.
Cursed out the crowd.
No, that is playoff baseball to me.
Cursed out the crowd.
Yes, thank you. Give me a little bit more of that. Let's talk some bleep.
It did add juice.
That being said, no, I'm not even remotely concerned about Class A. Not in this series. Listen, you're going to have a bad moment. And if we want to talk about, there are certain guys that can't have a bad moment. Right, there are certain players on this roster that our patience with them is razor thin because they just don't do enough good enough of the time for me to have faith in them or patience in them. Class A ain't it. Class A, of everybody on this roster, it's Jose and then it's Class A, and that rhymes, that has the most amount of patience. So are you going into...
Jose with his one hit this series that was initially called an error, and then they had to go ahead and ask MLB to fix that.
Okay, with that, it'd be nice to see Jose as a lefty again. We like Jose better as a lefty than we do a righty, but I digress.
So you're not concerned in the slightest bit, not even about Class A. I'm just saying in general now moving forward, because the advantage definitely goes to the Tigers.
Dude, it's the playoffs.
Yeah, and the advantage goes to the Tigers
now. I think that's a perspective thing. Listen, I understand that the math, because they're two games in Detroit and Scooble is going to throw again in Game 5. I understand the concern. You should always have appropriate fear in the playoffs, right? Like, that's the whole point of the playoffs. Every loss should feel like a gut punch.
I felt like in doing the show last night, I felt a lot of people were just kind of like, well, we gave it a good try, didn't we? It was just laissez-faire to me. It was just so like...
I think they like this team and trust this team.
It was such a river approach to it all. We were just kind of floating like, oh, I guess we were... bound to lose one eventually.
So you think that's a game that should be scorched earth?
Not scorched earth. We're not scorched earth. But it definitely was the game.
Reaction?
It was definitely a game that instilled fear into me about this series.
You didn't have it going into the series?
I had a little fear going into the series, but that was the one that was like, because after they won game one.
So it moved?
After they won game one. It always moves. After they won game one.
Lucky you.
I definitely had a different identity to what I thought. Because I told you going into it, my worries about how Detroit was hot and how they were playing. In game one in the first inning, Lemon Law Lane hitting home runs was miraculous for everybody, okay?
Okay.
And you're like, yeah, the Tigers are special. They can't beat this Guardian special. And you know what was special if you're a Tigers fan? Watching the ninth inning and watching Class A serve up the first three-run homer of his career while the man allowed 5 earned runs the entire season and he gave up 3 in that inning. Like, if you're a Tigers fan... how are you not walking around right now thinking you are the absolute team of destiny?
Yeah, because that's what delusional runs do to you.
What'd your buddy Jim Costa say this morning?
I didn't even listen because I was not in a mood to listen to
that cocky SOB. He must have been going crazy.
With respect, he is a cocky SOB. But no, I mean, like, getting back to it, dude. I don't think yesterday should change the fear factor in this. I totally respect that the loss sucked. And I hate to lose on effectively the last at bat of an inning when you were then, if Class A gets out of that, you go in there and you're kind of playing with house money because you're at home. You didn't have the three best hitters in the world up, but you do have like I think you're kind of playing pressure-free if you get out of that ninth inning. That would have been a huge momentum shift. But I don't think there's series momentum shift that happened because Carpenter hit that home run. It might have given the Tigers some confidence and a reminder of who they are. They still went, what was it, 18 straight innings? No, not 18.
17?
17. Math is hard. Without scoring a run. So I can't.
Yeah, that's in the past.
The Guardians are still a good baseball team, and momentum doesn't really exist within a playoff series unless you let it exist. So, no, I mean, I'll continue to go back to it. The Sunday game with Washington, where I went in saying, no, it can't possibly end the season. You're only going to 1-4. And then they went out and crapped the bed in such a sufficient, and they articulated every concern we had about them in one game. I mean, it was everything. It was Deshaun's worst game since Dallas. It was a offensive line performance. We had drops. We had missed tackles. We had every bad coaching, bad leadership, bad body language. Everything but Bad Bunny we had in that game. Like, that to me is so much worse than... That's two really good teams going toe-to-toe, and a player whose trust with me is empirical.
See, I think the Browns in their season was almost inevitable at a certain point. And so what happened with the Washington game, if it didn't happen in the Washington game, it was going to happen in the Eagles game. It was going to happen in the Bengals game. We were already writing that up. What happened with the Tigers and the Guardians, that was we are Goliath and they are David there, and they slayed us. And once you can do it once, I think they showed themselves that Class A in the ninth, they can get after him. They've done it before.
By the way, Gregory on Twitter, and of course, Twitter Reactions brought to you on X by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, saying, size 8, my friend. I can only wear size 8 fitted caps. Well, congratulations on all your success. Keith also sent you and me, he sent us, but it was at me. A little bit of a needle saying, imagine if Nick had hair, what hat size would be. I do have hair. It's just thinning. Thank you very much.
And mine's receding.
Ooh, I got both.
What a battle we're in for hair.
I got a twofer. I got thinning and receding.
Does yours
recede? Thank you, genetics. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got widow's peaks here.
I'm not going to make you take the hat
off
and figure it out.
No. And it was
not going to do that.
It's always insulting when somebody like bullies you and like take the hat off.
Yeah,
it's like
now, I want to see.
Yeah, I'm not your monkey. That's no. You listen. If you want to go to my OnlyFans at Nick Wilson does, you can see me hatless, shirtless, and a lot of things less. But not here. Not in the middle of Walmart, sir. Not today.
Nick Talk.
216-474-0092. Real quick here, Thomas and Shaker, we're up against it, buddy. We got about 30 minutes. Did yesterday's...
30 seconds.
That too. We got 30 seconds. Thank you, JP. Did Emmanuel Clase lose your trust yesterday?
No. I agree with both of you at the same time. I don't. I think the Guardians lost yesterday was worse than the Browns because the Browns are dead to me. But I agree with you, Nick, because I'm not really panicking right now. The thing is, the Guardians have so many great pitchers in their bullpen. They can move one of the other pitchers to closer if they needed to, if Class A don't have it. And also, the other thing is, I say it all the time, JP, you don't understand, this is Detroit, and we're from Cleveland. We ain't going to let Detroit mess us up, man. And Jose Ramirez, he got 300 batter average, 171 hits, 33 home runs, 122 RBIs against the Tigers. I ain't worried. Let's go to Detroit, and let's mess the Tigers up.
All right.
Go Guardians.
Can you admit, real quick, Thomas, can you admit that this Detroit thing is a bit?
No, because it's just in me, man. You know, it's just in me.
You got that Detroit in you?
Like mom's spaghetti.
I got that hate Detroit in me. Like, you just be in Detroit, you be like, dang, I hate this place.
All right, and Thomas, we appreciate you, buddy. We got to run.
Bye, Thomas. Thomas Detroit. also on TikTok, Thomas.
Look at that, TikTok Thomas.
I follow him on TikTok.
All about Detroit. Oh, follow me so I can follow you, because I won't be able to find you other way. When we come back.
What a play that was.
What?
I won't be able to find you if not.
Yeah, I'm old. I get the old card plays here. I'm an old man on TikTok. TikTok. But of course, Jason Stanford joins us. We'll ask him what yesterday's loss meant to him for the Gardos. We'll also continue to take your reaction. Which loss stung worse, the Browns loss to the Commanders or the Game 2 loss by the Gardos to the Tigers? That's next on 92.3 The Fan. We got to continue on with the Guardians here, Gardos, Tigers, series tied at one game apiece. To go ahead and talk about it, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on of 92.3 The Fan of formerly the Cleveland Indians. It is Jason Stanford joins us now. What's up, Lefty?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you guys?
I mean, we're good. We would have been better if they didn't lose that game the way they lost it yesterday.
Very much so. I think, you know, when you look at the guards pitching, they did everything imaginable you could ask for and then some, especially Matthew Boyd doing what he did, you know, just come out and start against Skubal. You turn it over to the bullpen, they do their part. You bring in your phenom in Class A, and unfortunately one pitch made all the difference. And, you know, I go back and forth on this constantly. A closer is a closer for one thing, to go out and get the job done in the ninth inning. But I think yesterday, looking at it, you bring Clase in the eighth inning to do the job, and he's amped up, the crowd's amped up, but then he goes and sits down for three outs and kind of loses that edge a little bit and then goes out and, you know, is asked to do the ninth. And that's kind of my take on it right now, is looking at it from a pitcher perspective.
So it's just too out of the norm for you. Like, in your opinion, Jason, maybe he never should have came into the eighth and should have only done the ninth?
I would have left Gattis in there for the, you know, to finish out the eighth inning and then turn it over to Class A for the ninth. You know, you keep the juices flowing emotionally. I mean, the crowd was electric yesterday. It's a 0-0 game, and you bring in your closer at that point. Yeah, I would have not brought him in the eighth inning. Let Gattis do his part like he's done all season long. Let Class A do his part, and then hopefully in the 10th inning, you know, you do what you need to do at a 0-0 game at that point, and then you win it in the bottom of the 10th.
So, big picture, we're just having the conversation of which loss hurt the worst. The Browns getting spanked by the Commanders, or the Guardians losing in Game 2 at home. Which loss do you think was the worst loss?
Well, I would say the Browns were expected to lose against the Commanders. I think that was inevitable of what we talked about earlier in the week. You know, just watching how Jalen Daniels did his part. And then, I mean, he stepped up. And the defense, unfortunately, didn't hold their serve, you know, late in the game. The guards, though, this game, for me, it hurts. It stings, especially as a player. You work so hard, you know, in that game yesterday to do everything that you're supposed to do. It's a 0-0 game. You have some opportunities. Unfortunately, some double plays, some timely double plays cost you. But looking at it as a 1-1 game, and now you're going into Motown, like, for me, you lost serve on the home field advantage at this point. And that's a tough sell in the playoffs. You know, now you're expected, I believe Alex Cobb is going game 3. So, you know, you have a guy that hasn't pitched in about 5 weeks now to real live hitters. So that's going to be a tough feat in itself. And the offensive woes, other than us seeing the 5 runs in the first inning, really haven't amounted to much.
Yeah, I mean, 3 hits in just yesterday's game, Jason. I mean, and J-Ram got his one hit corrected, but it hasn't looked pretty offensively in Game 2. Is that something that you'd worry would carry into Game 3, or is it the type of thing that this Guardians team is just so different they can just turn it on at any point?
It's a different ball club this year. You know, in the past, I would have said, yeah, you know, if they can't turn it on, you know, Game 3 might scare me. But they have the day off to relax, to recoup, try to regroup as best they can. You know, we've talked about it multiple times that J-Ram has struggled in the playoffs his whole career, though, and it's kind of showing. Yeah, you know, he is lucky that, you know, that was turned into a double for him, which is awesome for him, right? I mean, that game was unbelievable as well. But you really haven't seen him really take, and maybe the pressure is mounting. It's a 1-1 series now, and, you know, Game 3, I'm not going to say it's a do-or-die must-win, but it's a game that you have to go out and you have to compete and get it going early in that first inning. You're the visiting team. Do what you got to do.
In terms of the pitch tunneling that Skubal does, should they see him, should this series make it to Game 5, how, as the Guardians, how do you adjust to that level where up until like 15 feet to go, every single pitch looks damn near identical?
He's the best in baseball right now when it comes to starting pitching. The thing that I loved yesterday watching him was his fastball command early on, and then his change of command was disgusting. He has one of the best changes in baseball right now, and he just learned how to do it. You know, it's not like he had it in college or he had it early in his career pro-wise. He's learning how to throw a changeup, and he kind of, you know, scrapped the splitter to go to that changeup. Looking at it, though, you have to pick a pitch. Like, you have to know counts of when he's most likely to throw those pitches. I mean, every pitcher has a tail sign. Whether, you know, it's his fastball early on, just commit to that and say, if I get a fastball early on, I've got to hit, and I've got to get after it. And the other thing, too, on that, more times than not, lefties, you have to be able to utilize opposite field power. So if you can learn to drive the ball, and the guards do a pretty good job of that, of staying on the ball and driving, and they've done that all season long against lefties. Unfortunately, they didn't do anything yesterday against Skubal.
Yeah, obviously Game 2 wasn't what I'm going to reference here, but is there a point with Skubal where you look and say he threw like 85 innings last year? He threw 192 innings this year, and now we're into the postseason. Like, if I'm a Tigers fan, I do wonder at what point Skubal has just thrown more pitches than he typically has thrown and double the amount than he's thrown last year coming off that injury.
Yeah, I mean, normally it would be a tough sell. I think a lot of times, you know, organizations would look to shut their horses down, especially their protective horses. But it's not often that the Tigers get to the playoffs either. and you have a young man in Scooble that can dominate a game. I mean, we saw it yesterday. He dominated the game yesterday. You know, he gave up a minimal amount of three hits. He didn't walk anybody, you know. And you know, when you look at that, I mean, that's dominating a game. That's what we're used to seeing when an ace goes out there and does his part. But to get back to the point of doubling his innings, yes, there's going to be more wear and tear on his arm than he's accustomed to, but he also had surgery. He's been able to come back from it, and he's healthy right now. The velocity stayed up yesterday. Of his pitches stayed precise. And I think that's what you have to look at, too, you know, when you're A.J. Hanson, the pitching coach.
Former Cleveland Indians pitcher, also with 92.3 The Fan, Jason Stanford on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So what's the key to Game 3?
Get out early. You're the visiting team. You've got to put the pressure on them immediately. Get to their bullpen right off the get. You know, it's going to be a bullpen game again, so they have an opener. Be able to do, I'm not going to say repeat, you know, going and getting five runs without getting an out. I mean, that was to die for, right? But you have to at least put up some strong at-bats in the first inning. You've got to be able to maybe muster one run across and put the pressure immediately on them. And hopefully for Alex Cobb, he goes out there and he establishes the zone down in the strike zone and gets a lot of ground balls.
Quickly, Jason, is now games 3 and 4 then with what we've talked about with Scooble, is games 3 and 4 must win for the Guardians?
I wouldn't put must win. I would put a sense of urgency on both of those games. I still think if they get to game 5, it's at home. It's going to be electric. It's what you play for, you know, as a player, to have that opportunity to beat the best of the best. Do you want to? No. But if it comes down to it, you just learn how to scrape, and hopefully you can claw your way into the next series.
Jason, what can you tell us about what you're doing for hurricane relief here, bud?
So with my full-time gig right now with the VFR Foundation, we've come up with an idea of hurricane relief for both hurricanes that, you know, Helene just hit, and Milton is on his way. My girlfriend, Vanessa, is from Clearwater, from the Tampa area. We are actually renting the U-Haul next Tuesday. We are supplying it with as many supplies as we can from Northeast Ohio people. So non-perishables, food, water, generators, monetary donations, anything that possibly anybody could amount to help us out. We're going to drive down. We're going to stop in North Carolina. We're going to help as many people as we can in a couple days there, and then shoot down to Clearwater and help as many families as we possibly can. We're going to be on the front line. And this is the mission that I'm looking at, to help as many Americans as we can, veterans, first responders, and families that are going to need it. We need it.
So real quick, if somebody wants to kind of help pitch in with this, where can we kind of go to kind of find you, get at you, make sure that we can kind of help?
So it's VFRFoundation.org. That's VFRFoundation.org. That's our website. We're on social media. We're on Instagram. We're on X, Facebook. Our office is located in Mentor. So if anybody, you know, wants to donate those goods and bring it to our office, they're more than welcome to. It's on our website. But please, we know that this is going to be a hard hit one. I mean, right now I believe it's a Category 4. It's probably going to hit as a Category 3. And Clearwater, they just got devastated recently, and they're about to get devastated again.
Well, Jason, we appreciate you sharing, buddy. We appreciate what you guys are doing. And, again, thanks for your time today, bud.
Always, guys. Thank you, JP. Thank you, Nick Dubs.
Thanks so much, buddy. Jason Stanford there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Great stuff with him. We will get back to the Guardians talk as the show continues here. But as we continue the show, myself and Spencer German break down everything around Ohio State, their path to the playoff, and all the biggest headlines. Getting you ready for Oregon as well on the Sons of the Shoe podcast. Subscribe now on the free Odyssey app, 92.3thefan.com, or wherever you get your podcast. Follow Sons of the Shoe. I demand it of you. When we come back, we will get into the Kevin Stefanski part of the equation for the Cleveland Browns. Is Kevin a part of the problem or part of the solution? That's next on 92.3 The Fan.